Support your favorite local businesses during this challenging time at supportlocal.usatoday.com. Buy a gift card now, use it later, and help save a business or two. Buy a gift card at supportlocal.usatoday.com.
Support for the Weird Homes podcast comes from the Austin Energy Solar Education and Rebate Program, providing solar rebates and education for Austin residents and giving you the knowledge you need to have a positive solar shopping experience. If you've been thinking about going solar, now through August, you can earn the most from your Austin Energy Solar rebate, a total of $3,500. Learn more at austinenergy.com/go/solar101.
Have you ever walked through your neighborhood, taken a look at a strange or weird home and wondered, what's going on in there? Well, this is the podcast for you. In each episode, we'll explore the artists, collectors, and architects whose creativity could spark your own. Hey, everybody. This is David J. Neff with the Weird Homes podcast, where we interview collectors, artists, and architects all across the United States and beyond on what inspires them. What is creativity? What makes them do what they do? And today we have Jane Gottlieb out of Santa Barbara. She's an artist and photographer. Jane, you want to say hello to everybody real quick?
Yes, I'm really happy to be here. Thank you.
Good. We're very happy to have you as well. And Jane came to our attention through an amazing article on Curbed, a great website that supports a lot of the tours we have in a lot of our cities and a lot of just interesting architecture. And we had multiple people send us this article. We shared it. Our producer for the show was like, yes, we need to find this Jane and track her down, and helped me do that, and is always just a great part behind the scenes of this podcast. But now we have the other Jane on the phone, who is the artist and photographer. So, Jane, why don't you start? Tell me a little bit about your childhood. Did you grow up in a creative home? Did you have parents that were collectors?
My mother was a painter, and my parents used to travel and buy art. Not, you know, name art, but interesting art that they loved. And I got really lucky. I went to this elementary school at UCLA that was an experimental school in the 50s. And because I liked to paint, you know, which basically started at finger painting, right? I mean, I liked finger painting. And so they had a painting room and they set up an easel that was mine.
Wow.
And I could go there and leave class and go paint. So they made me feel very special. I was the only one in the class that they gave that opportunity to. And then they put my art up on the walls, like in the fourth grade.
Wow.
And that was it. I was, I've been an artist ever since. So, you know, it's really been actually really wonderful to have a direction and an interest and a passion since I was a little girl.
And everyone, yeah, that's an amazing story, because I think what we hear a lot is, hey, don't do that. That doesn't lead to a career, or
exactly,
you know,
we're
defunding.
That later.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
I heard that as I got older, and then in college, it's like, you can't be an artist. You have to, you know, that was great until you graduate, and then you have to come up with something that's more a job.
And did you ignore that, or did you listen?
No, I didn't. I moved to New York, and because I decided I wanted to be an art director in advertising, and it was a very creative time in advertising, the late 60s. And I ended up having a career as a designer, art director, photographer till I was 35. And at 35, I got my first museum show.
Oh.
And so that was it.
That's
but
fantastic.
I was working and doing my art on the side and hustling. And, you know, I worked very hard that first, you know, after college to 35, trying to get my art going and at the same time make a living as an art director
and
designer, photographer.
And tell me a little bit about your art and your inspiration. What photography, paintings, but what's...
Well, I started out as a painter, and but when I did get to New York, started working with photographers as an art director, I switched into photography because it was, you know, so much faster, and painting was so slow. and life was, you know, didn't have time for that anymore. And so I ended up working with a lot of really wonderful, famous photographers and learning from them instead of ever, I never took a photography class. And, but that was part of being, you know, I never took an art direction class either. Part of just sort of having that a positive feedback when I was a kid that I could do anything I wanted.
That's amazing.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel very lucky I got all that positive support. But I didn't, you know, to be a full-time artist, that was kind of beyond what I got support on until I finally got the art going and the shows going. And but I used to go to New York for a month every year with a portfolio and just kill myself showing my work every day, 10 times a day, and maybe getting one thing that would happen. I think that a fine art career is really, really difficult.
Yeah, and for those of the folks out there listening who don't know maybe what that means, break that down for us. So you would go to New York and you'd go to galleries and try and...
I'd go to galleries and magazines and, you know, anybody that would see me. I have wonderful stories of, you know, dropping my work off at the Museum of Modern Art and ending up in the... in the museum when it was empty, that kind of thing. But and I have really interesting experiences. And if you go every year for a while, you end up, everybody remembers you. Oh, and because everyone is so work-oriented in New York.
Mm.
Anyway, I got my first big, should I talk about my houses?
Yeah, yeah, no, I guess so too. So you had your first show, and then...
Yeah, I got my first big show, whereas before I got little group show, I'd be in one group show and one picture in a magazine and three posters that were done, and, you know, it's just sort of like baby steps and forward on my fine art career until I was 35.
And then after that, it was all
after that
shows,
was,
you never
it
had
was
to...
wonderful.
That's
it
great.
It was dreams come true.
That's
you
amazing.
Know, it was ending, I'm not in the Museum of Modern Art, but besides that, every other dream has really been—it's really been validating and wonderful. And I'm—it's now I'm 73, so that's a lot of years being a full-time artist.
Yeah.
And as a photographer, everything has changed so much, and it's been so interesting to me. I'm on top of new technology and started on Photoshop 2.0, you know, in 1990.
Nice.
And I'm just really happy with the photography art medium also, which is now, you know, these beautiful digital prints on aluminum that don't need plexiglass on them and will last longer than anything else ever has in photography.
Oh, wow.
So, the output is just fabulous. And I get to keep doing my art because I have a lot of walls to put it up on. I've been putting it on into a lot of buildings at UCLA and UCSB, the Law Library and the Main Library, and I mean big metal pieces, aluminum pieces in public spaces, which has just sort of been a coup that I feel I got. I found.
Yeah.
So now I have 150 pieces up at UCLA.
And tell me
and
what's
more going up.
Yeah, and so tell me what inspires your art. Is it stills? Is it people? Like, what do you paint? And then what do you, you know, do for your photography work?
Well, I have all of those years of photographs in color slides and files. And so those are the basis of my art. And I traveled a lot. And I took a million pictures or 2 million. You know, you take so many pictures, and part of being a photographer then was organizing. So everything is really well organized. And so if I need inspiration, there isn't some images I'm already working on. I can just open my drawer and see, oh, here's Corsica, 1992. What did I shoot then? You know, that kind of thing.
Wow.
And then you go through all those pictures and a couple jump out at me and I scan them and start painting them and collaging them in Photoshop. And the thing with Photoshop is you can look at a picture and realize that you're going to transform it. So I'm so glad I saved every bad picture I took, because now I can sharpen them and make light great, take out anything that I didn't like. I mean, it's magical what you can do.
Yeah.
Put in a beautiful sky and and then printed on the shiny aluminum and go, oh my God, isn't it gorgeous? So, you know, that picture I took, you know, 30 years ago, and that one I took 20 years ago, and I just put them together, and that sky I took, gee, in the Caribbean. Anyway, I'll stop. I really wanted to tell you about my house.
Yeah, no, let's talk about your house. So tell me a little bit.
Like 40 years ago, I went to the Yucatan.
Mm-hmm.
So up to that point, even though I'm this artist, and I love, you know, impressionist art and fauve art and all kind, you know, anything colorful. But I really, painting was bright, but photography wasn't very colorful. I mean,
sure.
Not, you know, so that's what I was doing, was taking pictures and always trying to figure out how to add color to them. And when I went to the Yucatan, I found that I could take pictures of things and I didn't want to add color to them because they were already painted these bright colors. The houses would be turquoise and purple and magenta all in the same wall.
Right.
You know, it just totally inspired me. I feel like I was a primary color person, and I just exploded to every other color. And so I came back from the Yucatan, and I had a little cute little house in West L.A., and I painted it all my bright colors, including the driveway. I painted turquoise. I had a really sweet guy that worked for me, and we just had a lot of fun painting. And then my friends would come over and laugh at me, my artist friends. They just, it made people laugh, but they also didn't think anybody could live in it. But but I found it very livable. I find color to be incredibly, I mean, it's cliche, but it's really uplifting. It really makes you feel good. It really does.
We believe color has vibrations, and
yes.
Definitely color has its own energy and can change your mood and spirit. So we're big fans of that.
Yeah. So I started with that little house. Then I got another little house in L.A. that was also a small house that no one would ever paint those colors. And it painted that one, too. And that one, I ended up starting to get some recognition. I got an incredible article on it in L.A. magazine.
Oh, wow.
Where I got the cover and 8-10 pages. It was really, really fabulous. And then my husband and I got together and we bought a beautiful modern house in Santa Monica Canyon. And both of us had really shabby furniture for this house. I mean, it was so beautiful and modern. So we put together some money and we bought this beautiful Italian modern furniture that we still have 30 years later. It's just still gorgeous, just a little worn. But you know, but one's okay. Perfection is impossible. But there was a time when it was perfect. We were in that house in Santa Monica Canyon, and he had no dog. And I painted that house bright colors.
I love it.
And it was really a showcase. Had a lot of walls and a lot of skylights and my art everywhere. And it was a wonderful house. But it was still L.A. and I was turning 50 and feeling that was a very important birthday. And that I needed to change and move out of L.A. So I pushed my husband up here. And, you know, it's only an hour and a half from L.A. So I felt like I'd be going to L.A. every week, you know, doing work and then just living here. But it turns out that this city is a complete wonderful place. And you don't have to go to L.A. unless you have work there. And anyway, nowadays, you know, you don't have to go anywhere.
Right.
You can talk on the phone and do it on the computer.
That's right. And
you know, it's so much easier.
And tell us a little bit about, so the house you're in now, how'd you make decisions? What's kind of the creative process?
Well, first of all, looking for a house up here, and really 99% of the houses here are Mediterranean style.
Okay.
And I like modern architecture, so it was really hard to find a house. And this was, you can only call it like a mishmash because it had an original nice piece of architecture. And then this guy bought it. And for 10 years, he remodeled nonstop.
Oh, wow.
So, and then he was a playboy bachelor kind of guy. So this was a big party house, I found out later.
Ah.
And but he got married and she wanted out of this house and into a Mediterranean house. So the house was on the market for a year because it was very ugly. But it had really good bones. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we love those houses.
Great windows and great views and open space. And, you know, I wish the ceilings were higher. I wish he didn't have as many strange architectural details this guy put in. I ripped out a bunch of them. But I've been here 23 years. Never lived anywhere this long.
Congratulations.
Never. Thank you. And I built my studio, which is wonderful. And I have four dogs now. I mean, it's a whole different life in Santa Barbara. But I work more. I get more done. So I'm very happy. The house has now been appreciated by everybody, except for my neighbors. But I'm used to that.
You're listening to the Weird Homes Podcast. Hey, everybody. This is David J. Neff with the Weird Homes Podcast. Are you new to solar energy? Are you thinking about it, talking to your friends, posting on Facebook, trying to learn more? Forget all that. We have much better options with Austin Energy Solar Incentives Program. Austin Energy has a solar education portal that really teaches you how solar energy can power your home. It's a great way to start the process and really learn more. Plus, what do we all love? We love rebates. They have those on their website as well. And also talking you through the installation, how those rebates work, and how solar works in general. So check it out. Go to austinenergy.com/go/solar101. Are you constantly adding and changing things? You know, you have just that purple carpet and just these amazing colors in the house. Are you constantly adding and changing to that?
Well, since you mentioned the carpet has definitely been a problem all these years since I've had dogs. So we put this beautiful, much lighter purple carpet in when we moved here, and then we got our first dog, and then we got two puppies, and then...
Oh, wow.
Anyway, now that purple carpet is actually wood floor. Part of it is still purple carpet, but those pictures were taken a couple of years ago, and they look really, really good on curved. And I think my house has gotten a little shabbier since then. And the problem is, if you paint one wall, you have to paint them all.
Of course.
You know, then suddenly they all look faded out there. So it's all faded a little bit. It's not faded anybody else's eyes. It still looks like it's very, very bright.
Yeah, I was about to say.
You know. Yeah, and I mean, it's very bright out there, but it's just, you know, I can see I can just see it a little pale.
And then are you adding new things over time, like your own work or others' work, or how do you kind of keep it up and keep it lively and interesting?
Wow, well, I do switch around my art. But I don't move around furniture, and I think with a house, it's like I added my studio, and then we did a whole bunch of stuff before we moved in, and then that was it. And then I got dogs. Now, they bark all day if people come to do work. So I didn't remodel the bathroom. So it looks really cool in that picture. I wish I'd ripped that whole thing out, because it's a really big room, and I could have had a beautiful modern bathroom, but I can't live through the hassle doing that now. So I don't do much remodeling. It's more like maintenance. You know, it's
sure.
Just trying to keep this house up, which takes a lot of time.
I bet.
And then, you know, but it's fine. It's paradise. And I'm literally 5 minutes from downtown. I mean, like up in the hills, 5 minutes up the hill and, you know, a couple windy roads and you're here. It's just like country, but it's right in the... It's because it's all 1 acre properties, and it's just beautiful in Santa Barbara.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and it is. I just didn't know it when I moved here. I just thought it was the closest place, you know, to LA.
Right.
I just feel like I got lucky.
And tell the people at home, talk to me about inspiration of just, you know, for you, it was the Yucatan, the colorful houses. But
yes.
Imagine one of our listeners is at home. They just bought their condo, an apartment, a house, and they're just staring mm-hmm. at it, and they don't know where to start. Help them.
Oh,
give them some inspiration. Help them think through that.
Well, I think people should choose their favorite color and paint one wall in the room their favorite color. So it's not a pale pastel, unless that's their favorite color. But and also to look around the room and find details that they can paint. And then that doesn't take, like, just around a fireplace or around a doorway or a door. You know what I mean? Or just a little window trim at the bottom. Every little stair rise, just up the stair. Every little bit slice of color that you add, you know, adds a whole bunch of positive, fun energy. Everybody will notice it. And so it ends up being fun. And you can repaint it so easily. So if you don't like it, you can change the color or repaint it white and, you know, takes you half a day.
Right.
Not the deal. I don't suggest painting a whole room a color and then sitting in it and going, oh, my God, what did I do? I think one wall in a room is great. And that changes everything. Everything bounces off of it. The unfortunate thing is sometimes your furniture starts to look yucky. That's what happened with me, is when I really got some, you know, bright colors in my beautiful house. Anyway, doesn't matter. Furniture is not very important. It's just the way the house feels and the room feels. That's what's important. And it makes it feel really good if you have some color in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And paint is an easy, easy way to do it. It's not like reupholstering or buying new furniture. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just a wall of color is amazing.
No, I do. I think we obsess over furniture a lot of times, but you're right. That's hard and expensive and difficult and everything else that goes with that. So instead, concentrating on other things to make it a more creative space.
And there's so much neutral furniture out there that just putting a purple wall behind it will make that furniture look so much more fun, and then put a pink pillow on it and the whole room is transformed.
That's right. That's
and you walk in and smile. I mean, it's fun. It's easy. You can do it on a weekend and change your whole place
and
kind of thing.
Absolutely.
Know?
Absolutely. And talk to me about maybe who are some people are looking at your house and they're being inspired by it and they're going home and they're taking your advice. Who are some artists, or where do you take some other inspiration from besides the kind of bright colors and, you know, trips and things like that?
Well, David Hockney, I just think he's the most amazing artist. Mm. And he has those huge landscapes that he did when he went back to England for 8 years. That are so colorful and so panoramic. You know those big, big paintings?
Yeah.
They're just gorgeous. He's my favorite artist. But, you know, I mean, I have the Matisse, you know, I love, and Chagall I love, but I really love Calder. He's really my favorite. He had wonderful color sense. I studied art history at Berkeley and UCLA with my painting together. So you know, it's natural. As an artist, you're going to study art history.
Right.
So I love art. I got to do a junior year in Florence, so I love Renaissance art, all those colors. I have gotten really, really brighter and brighter in the last couple of years, but and a lot of people do say to me, gee, I like your older piece better. But I got plenty of those, too, so it doesn't matter. I feel finally at a certain age, you get to a place where it's like you're not influenced by somebody else's rejection, or they say, God, I love that piece, but that piece leaves me cold. When I used to show my portfolio, that would drive me crazy, you know, and now if you like it, I'm really happy. And if you don't like it, it doesn't matter. You
right.
know? Fine. I bet there's something else around here you'll like. I have so much art. It covers so many years of development.
Oh, that's such a good positive attitude that we could all learn and listen to as well in our own lives.
Yeah, it takes time. I mean, I really think it, you know, as you get older, you do get a different perspective and you get more confident and you don't care as much what other people think.
Yeah.
Though
yeah.
it, you know, makes me feel it's really great you guys contacted me and we've done this interview. I mean, I'm honored. It's wonderful to be appreciated. And thank you. Any other questions?
No.
Or have I answered all your questions?
You've answered them all. I think tell the folks listening where they can find you on, you know, your website, your Instagram, all that good stuff.
Well, it's janegottlieb.com for my website. And it's Jane Gottlieb on Instagram, and it's Jane Gottlieb. It's Jane Gottlieb on Twitter and LinkedIn. It's all Jane Gottlieb.
Everywhere. Nice and easy. We love it.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't understand why people on Instagram took all these bizarre names. But I realized, you know, it just didn't make sense to me.
No, we're...
But that's because I've been trying to make my name known for so long. You know, it's like I just can't take a nickname.
Right. Well, we're Weird Homes Tour on Instagram, so we kept it simple, too. We're just like you on that. Well, thank you so much for your time. It's really appreciated.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
okay,
you bet.
Okay, is this goodbye?
Yeah, I think I think this is goodbye. Thank you so much. You have a great rest of your day, okay?
Okay.
All
bye
right.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Cheers. We'd love for you today to go check out our website at weirdhomestour.com. You can find the new coffee table book that features all the homes that you're hearing about on the podcast. We'd also love for you to check out our Instagram, Weird Homes Tour. And finally, really, we want this podcast to inspire you to show that design has no boundaries and that we would rather have neighbors be strange than be strangers.